Welcome to the podcast of MotorWeek, television's original automotive magazine. MotorWeek is made possible by RockAuto.com. Here's your host, John Davis.
Thank you, Alec Webb, and I'll add my welcome to everybody out there listening to our MotorWeek podcast number 59, and welcome also to all of you watching MotorWeek, because this is our beginning of our 31st season on public television stations and also on the Discovery Channel, which has been called HD Theater, and soon will be a household name as Velocity. But I digress. Here we are in Studio C, sitting around our table once again. We have our road test producer and two-wheeling reporter, Brian Robinson.
Hello.
And adding his 25 cents worth is over-the-edge reporter Stephen Chupnik.
25 cents worth is pretty good. Thanks, John.
And then joining us also is our staff writer, Brandon Holthouse.
Hey, that's me.
And this is Brandon's first season with MotorWeek, and so we welcome him to the staff. We got a lot to get through today. We'll have our lightning round and our MotorWeek mailbag. But first, let's take a look at some of the vehicles we've been testing lately. And we're going to start off with the Lotus Evora S, a car that is always piques a lot of attention. Small, lightweight, very fast, and in the Lotus tradition, a kind of a minimalist car that gives maximum performance. Brian Robinson, let's start with you. The Evora S. Now, this is the slightly more powerful version of the Evora. Still has the Toyota V6 engine. Your impressions?
You pretty much summed it all up there. Light and fast. Toyota Camry 3.5 liter with a supercharger. We've always loved the Evora, as you mentioned, lightweight. It's not super fast in a straight line, although it's something we got mid-fours, 0 to 60, but it's all about handling. I mean, in traditional Lotus fashion, it handles like a go-kart. The interior, you know, the Evora is probably one of their nicest interiors, and it's still, I don't know if it's still quite daily driver nice, but certainly very nice. This one had the rear seat delete, so behind the rear
Not that you could really use it anyway.
Right. So the rear area is plenty useful for storage. It sounds awesome. One of the coolest things about the car. It's engine's almost right behind your head, and there's nothing between you and it but a glass panel. And
it's a real honest-to-goodness mid-engine sports car for, a fourth of the price of some of the exotics?
It's $77,000, so it's not cheap with a supercharger, but
But you can get the Evora for less, and for that matter, you can get the two-seat, the Elise and Exige for less than that. But one thing that Lotus cars always do is entertain. Go ahead, Stephen.
That's exactly what this has to be. One of the most fun cars you can get in, just drive. We've had it sitting here for a little bit longer than we should have had it. And you mentioned that it's really not a daily driver.
We really don't want to let it go.
No, so we don't want to let it go. And it's not truly a daily driver, but I mean, I live about 5-10 minutes down, and I'll just take it home just to drive it.
I'll drive it. We say it's not a daily driver. Okay, it's a little rough over expansion joints and stuff like that. And if you've got more than a briefcase, there's not a lot of room, but I wouldn't want to drive it 100 miles every day.
No, definitely not 100 miles. But I actually went to the grocery store and was beyond surprised at how much I could actually fit into the, if you want to call it, trunk of the car. I fit a few sports drinks in there that a lot.
Brandon, your impression? I mean, that's kind of your first exposure to the Evora.
It was. And the amazing thing is, like Brian said, that it wasn't just for the driver, but anybody around you can hear that car coming. I mean, you look in your rearview mirror, you know exactly what's coming at you. But I got to imagine that everybody at the grocery store kind of likes seeing that that car in the parking lot.
I did get stopped a few times. It's one of those cars that you don't see it very often, so people do come up to you. I had friends who just wanted to come over or have me go over to their house and see it. So.
Back to the daily driver. It's not that it's not comfortable. I thought it's a very comfortable car. Mm-hmm. But it's just all the quirkiness. You still got to lock and unlock it every time you want to start it.
The key fob. You have to always hit the key fob before it'll start.
The radio is it's an aftermarket system, and it's got the tiniest buttons that you can imagine. And, you know, when you're hauling down a back road, you
don't want to be change fiddling it
too.
With that.
Just to turn the volume up, you got to try to hit some teeny tiny button. It's little things like that that it's not that it's not a comfortable car.
Yeah, it is a rare breed. It's not priced like an exotic, but it really is an exotic. It's a lot of fun to drive, and You know, it's everything that Lotus seems to do just keeps they've made quite a comeback. They had some pretty lean years, and it looks like they've got a lot of new product that's going to be coming out. It's going to make it even more interesting. Speaking of daily drivers, let's turn pretty much 180 degrees. And
same engine, though.
Same engine. Isn't that interesting? The new Toyota Camry. Okay. I believe it's seventh generation Camry, best-selling car in America for most of the last 15 years. Toyota, of course, has fallen on hard times in the last year or so because of natural disasters and recalls. This is the car that is supposed to bring them back to prominence. It is considered the benchmark among family midsize sedans. With that said, Stephen, why don't you give us your impressions on it?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It is the benchmark of Toyota, the Camry, the Corolla. Those are kind of the essence of Toyota, what they came out with. And it's exactly that. It's you're going to get the same Camry to a point.
But it's, now you're young, so younger than I am. You know, it's much younger looking. Do you like it better?
The first time I saw the character lines on all the models, the sportier model, the SE just looks awesome. Mm-hmm. From the grill, the lines, the interior is completely redone, hand stitched. It even has, to a point where
a lot more nice notch up in luxury that class.
Luxury for a Camry, and that's in the hybrid version, the regular LE, the SE, every model really did a good job on that. As far as the drive, it's still the same drive. I don't think they really did to me anything out of the ordinary of the drive, but the look of it is really nice.
Go as far as say Hyundai did with the Sonata, with going a real swoopy look, but it still definitely looks younger. You have any comment?
Well, as much grief as I've given the Camry over the years, and trust me, I've given it plenty. It's it's the car you want to buy if you don't want to think about buying a car or driving
refrigerator.
A car. It's definitely an appliance, but it's a really nice one. And if I had to pick a car today to drive across the country, it would probably be the Camry, just because it's so comfortable. You can get in and drive it all day long.
And there's plenty of things inside as well. I mean, they definitely know what families are looking for and mm-hmm. what everyone else is looking for. That you've got navigation and Bluetooth, and they've got their new Entune system that hooks up with smartphones. Which everybody has a smartphone now.
Yeah, but we were using the Entune, and I wanted to switch back from my iPod to my phone and to the Entune the phone that they had in there for us to test. And I guess if you have it, you're going to sync it up
to whatever you have.
But if you've got an iPod and you have and you don't have a smartphone, it's very difficult to try and move back and forth with that. The Entune just cuts out every time.
Isn't that a problem everybody's having?
Growing pains with this.
Technology. We can't even get half the cars with Bluetooth we get in here to hook up with our phones.
But I have to say, is if you really want a good system. The Entune was really neat. They had Pandora, which internet radio. The only problem with that is you couldn't switch another station. Growing pains, you really have to learn, but you have sports scores, you have weather, everything set up. It really does make it.
Here's the question. Let me ask you this question. Each one give me a short answer. Do you think, though, the Camry is the car that will restore Toyota's luster, or is that too big a job for one model?
Yeah, I'd say it's too big of a job for one model, but it's a good effort.
Brandon?
I think it's a good step up for the Camry, but as a whole brand, it's still just a Camry.
Steven?
I think the Prius is still going to be where Toyota's going to have to step up, and they have with the Prius.
That's going to be the future?
It definitely is. The Camry's going to be there. It's not – I don't think that's going to be the new car. It's the Camry, and it's going to stay that way. The Prius,
stalwart,
I would say.
Well, speaking of the future, let's go back to the future, if you please. VW Beetle. This is the second coming of the new Beetle. They don't call it the new Beetle anymore, but the first rework since the reincarnation of the Beetle. And this new model is lower. It's a little wider. It's a little longer. It definitely has few more character lines. They won't say it out quite outright, but it's pretty clear that they were a little concerned that men were not buying the previous Beetle, and now they think they may be attracting them a little bit better. Having said that, let's go around the table. Start with you, Brandon. You've spent quite a bit of time in this version of the 2012 Beetle. What do you think?
This Beetle is a great car. It is a lot of fun to drive, and this was one of the first ones where I really noticed people turning their heads as I drove down the road. Everybody was looking at it, and just like you said, I actually went to the grocery store as well with the Beetle, and somebody
we eat a lot on this.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of stuff to do, and you know, somebody actually knocked on my window, and I you know, rolled it down, and she says, "Is this the new Beetle? I can't believe this. This looks so nice." And wow. I said, "Yeah, this is the 2012." And she goes, "And you're a guy driving it." And I said, "Yeah, they're really stepping it up. It's a different Beetle, and I really liked it." The nicest thing though I like is the sound system they have. They work with Fender.
Unbelievable.
It is terrific.
Incredible.
It's an amazing system.
I really like the interior. I thought the last car was very retro, and that was fine. And I've not really felt that Volkswagen brand interiors have kept up with the market the last few years. They've let Audi take all the prestige. But, boy, what a nice interior this is. A nicely laid out dash, big hooded, deeply set gauges. Nothing extraordinary as far as not cutting edge and that it tries something to be something different, but extremely competent. And even they did one thing they kept. They did away with the vase, folks, so in case you're wondering about that. But they did keep the second glove box, which is called, what, the Beetle Bin.
The Beetle Bin, yeah.
And I had actually forgotten about that, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy into the whole more masculine aspect of it, but it does look nicer. But I don't think that really mattered to begin with. I mean, it's a fun-to-drive car, and if...
it is fun to drive.
You know, the Miata proved that, you know, even if it's a girly-looking car, if it's fun enough to drive, you know, guys are going to buy it.
I had a Miata for a lot of years. I loved it. Okay, let's move on now and go to our lightning round, where our MotorWeek panelists have the opportunity to share their opinions on a topic that's making the headlines. And we each we have a 2-minute time limit for the debate. When you hear the bell from Michelle, our producer, that means we have to stop. Okay, this question is going to take about a minute and 30 seconds to read. Here we go. Detroit's Big Three and Hyundai have experienced significant sales gains in 2011. I think we'd probably have to add Volkswagen to that, too. But will their time on top be cut short when the Japanese automakers begin to replenish their inventory and bring out all their new models over the next few months to a year? Okay, start the clock. Who wants to start? Go ahead, Steve.
I seem to think that Hyundai has really stepped up, and I think that's going to be the new brand
that everybody's
going to. And the look of their cars have really stepped up as well. The redesigns on all their new models are really good, and I think people will like that. And not only that, it's a good car to drive.
I don't think we can underestimate, though, the marketing prowess and the dealership prowess of Toyota and Honda. I mean, and they have a lot of new models to come. I mean, I've seen this cycle work before. Somebody gets down and out, and everybody thinks, well, it's going to take a long time for them to come back, and then they tap into some vein that nobody's thought of. However, having said that, with Hyundai and the domestics and Volkswagen pushing so hard to be the world's biggest car maker, I think it is going to be tougher.
Yeah, I think it's all about the product. Right now, the American company is really expanding, and Hyundai as well, just making some really good product. And I think you kind of hinted at it. You know, Toyota's got some really nice stuff in the pipeline, so it should be interesting.
Every single company wants to come back, and I think it's great for the consumer. You're going to have a lot of choices, and you know, competition creates cash, and you're going to have better cars, and you're going to have newer cars, and constantly things are going to be changing, and that's definitely what the system needs.
It's interesting. Just before the natural disasters in Japan, there was a lot of talk about how the car market, particularly in the U.S., was getting so incredibly competitive that there were probably going to be discounts, and then the natural disaster happened, and that was the end of that. A lot of those same people now feel that for Toyota and Honda to get back into the game, they're going to have to be a lot more generous with money back and low financing than they've ever been before. So I guess we'll
see. That was either good timing or just waiting on the bell till he was done.
We're just excellent at timing, folks. All right, let's dive into our Motor Week mailbag. And this comes from Jim in Louisiana. And, Jim, if we answer your question, we'll send you a Motor Week T-shirt. But you're going to send us some jambalaya. Okay. Here's his question. I'm looking to buy a new car, and I'm wondering if it makes more sense to buy a car equipped with a GPS system or go out and buy an aftermarket unit. Okay, who wants to set Jim straight on this?
I'm probably the wrong person, but I'll give a shot at it. Depends on the car, really. I mean, a lot of times you can't just buy a nav in a car. You're going to have to buy some kind of technology package. And, you know, if you can buy a standalone nav integrated into the car, you know, for under – you know, $600-$800, I might go that route. If it comes with a couple $1,000 package that you don't want, you know, get the aftermarket system. A lot of times the aftermarkets work better. Anyway, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Brandon?
The aftermarket units are nice, but and they're getting cheaper as time goes on. You can actually get a GPS in your smartphone now. It kind of comes standard with those. But if you want to get it in your car, look at the price. And if an aftermarket is all you want is a GPS, then aftermarket's the way to go. Or if you want to get all the other bells and whistles, then get it right in the car.
Steven?
I have an aftermarket. And I seem to like it a lot better than some of the systems, just in general, forgetting price. Sometimes the systems don't work, and they won't work while you're driving, or even when the passenger can't use it. The aftermarkets, anyone can use it. It doesn't matter if you're driving or not.
They don't seem to be concerned about the same liability issues.
Well, I think it's convenience as well. For me, I don't have a car that has a GPS or anything in it, and we go and we can travel and we can drive and not have to worry about pulling over and finding the directions.
But now the car companies, what they're doing in order to muddy this water is they're packaging a lot of other technology in with the GPS system and the best audio system. So sometimes if you want all of that, you've got to buy the package. However, even there, folks, you can go to places like Crutchfield or Best Buy and buy in dash units that do all that for less. So I think it's really about whether you want that look and inside the car that can only come from a factory system and absolutely all the bells and whistles. If it's a matter of saving money, you can do it aftermarket for less. So, Jim, thank you for that extremely timely question. That's a very good one. And I think that brings to a close our Motor Week podcast number 59. I want to thank everybody here in the studio, Brian Robinson and Brandon Holthouse
and
Stephen Chupnik. And I also want to thank our audio engineer. You never see him or even hear him, but he's the one that makes sure that we come through loud and clear, Jim Bigwood, our podcast creator, Bob Mixter, and always the lady with the bell, our producer, Michelle Parker. Thank you, Michelle. Join us again soon for more of our Motor Week podcast. Be sure to catch the latest episodes of Motor Week on your local public television station and also on HD Theater and soon Velocity on your HD channel on your cable or satellite. Till next time, I'm John Davis. Thanks very much for joining us here on Motor Week.
You've been listening to the podcast of Motor Week, television's original automotive magazine. Motor Week is made possible by RockAuto.com. For additional information on podcasts, videos, and showtimes, visit our website at MotorWeek.org. And watch Motor Week, television's longest-running automotive series, each week on your local PBS station.